Good morning, everyone. It's good to be here this morning. It's important in life, and I think even essential for a happy life, that we have some purpose that we are clearly aware of. And to be able to find and know the purpose of each one of our lives, very, very needful. I want to, before we get into that, take a moment that share with you a couple of photos that I can't resist. That we have a new grandson there in Missoula, Montana, that we got to go over and spend a few days, so we're very thankful for that. And this is Theo Einstein McMillan. So, Edison, Theo Edison McMillan. How did I make that?
Maybe he'll be
all right. Glad Karen is here to correct that. But anyway, Edison, Theo Edison McMillan. And he is a joy. And his brother is also very proud of him, Levi. So they are planning to be coming over in a few weeks to spend a few days here. So maybe you'll be able to see them also at that time. Anyway, as I was saying, it's very important that we need to have a purpose in life and understand what that is. I mentioned last week that oftentimes people go through a period in life where they lose that purpose, or they feel they have lost that. And sometimes if a wife dies, an elderly couple that have been happily married many years, the wife dies, it's not unusual the husband dies within a short time after that. We see that in many examples of that, people struggle when they do not have a purpose to be living for, something that is driving them, and the feeling that they are accomplishing something very valuable in their life. And so I believe that today this is a problem for many young people. Many people in life, in our society, as we're very busy these days, struggle because we don't seem to have that clear sense of purpose in our life. And sometimes young couples, they get married and they are not clear about what that ultimate purpose of life is. And they will often think that, well, it is an economic purpose, of goal of to be making more money, to have more money, to be financially secure, things like that. Or socially, to have a good family, to have happy relationships with friends in your life, to be happy and things of that nature. Certainly those are good, and those are important things. Or your own physical health of your life, to be able to stay healthy, take care of your health, live a long life. So we understand that those things are very valuable and very important. But is that the ultimate purpose of life? And I would say no. I would say that there has to be something greater than that, even than those goals in our life, for us to really fulfill the purpose of God in our life. So we spoke about that last week, that the Bible teaches us that really the God's purpose in our life is for us to become like Jesus Christ and to grow closer to Him. So I asked each one of you that question last week. Are you growing closer to Jesus Christ in your life? Are you becoming more like Him? Because I believe that is ultimately the purpose that we are here and should be striving for. And so we're going to continue to think about that purpose of life. And I gave each one of you a little challenge last week as we begin this new year. What is there in your life, one thing in your life that is hindering you from being able to stay focused on that? Because I believe it's a constant challenge today. with all the distractions that we have going on, for us to really stay focused on our goal, our purpose of trying to become more like Christ in our life. And it's not so much how quickly you are moving, but are you moving in that direction? As you look behind you at the last year, can you honestly say, I am further along on that journey? I'm growing closer. I'm making progress as we live that life. The Bible speaks of it as a race, as we talked like last week, a long distance race, like a marathon, that we are to keep our eyes on Jesus as we run this race with patience and lay aside every weight that hinders us and the sin which so easily encumbers us. So we want to speak about that again this morning and think about some of the challenges of the purpose of life that we have. So I would say to all of us this morning that those things that I just mentioned a moment ago, the economic, the social, the physical health goals, things of that nature, which we hear a lot about and think a lot about, cannot be the ultimate purpose of our life. And the reason is very simple, because all of those things are for this life only. They are only for this life, and they are restricted in that way. You I'm sure are familiar that in the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes is written by Solomon. And one of the things that he speaks about throughout this short book of wisdom that he writes for us is the fact that this life that we are living, that is vanity. That many things of this life are vanity. They pass away. They're not long-lasting. That one generation comes and another goes, and that it is like the vanity of the wind passing away. So he made the statement earlier in the book here in chapter 1 and verse 13, said, I have seen all of the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. And he is making that same point that I'm saying, that when we strive in our life, And it's all about how much money we are making and building your family even and taking care of your health, that in the ultimate, it is not the ultimate purpose. It comes short. And so at the end of that book, he gives this great summary of the purpose of life, saying, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, every secret thing, whether good or evil. He states there, really, what our purpose is in life. And I'm just saying that from a New Testament, from a Christian perspective, God has laid it out for us that it is to be like Jesus Christ. But ultimately, it is the same thing, to fear God and keep His commandments. That there is something in this life that we need to keep before us, that really the goal of our life is beyond this life. It is the eternal perspective of our life. And if we lose sight of that, then we will come to the end of life, and we will have our regrets, each one of us, that we have failed to see what the ultimate purpose of life is really about. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I want to thank Roki. He read a beautiful job reading this earlier this morning. But in 2 Corinthians 5, beginning with verse 1, he said, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, speaking of our body, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And so he told the Corinthians that he was longing in his life for the day when he could be beyond this life. And he understood that there is a deeper purpose. There is a much greater ultimate purpose that we have in our life than living in this body. That we have so many pains and aches and pains and our bodies wear out and all of those things. That there is a day coming when we have the opportunity, we can be free of this body, but we will be clothed with something far better. We'll be able to live in a new house, a tabernacle with God, not separated from Him, but with Him. And he was longing for this. Not only did he say that he was longing for this day when that would come, but he said, he makes the statement that we are being prepared for this by God Himself. So he continued, he said, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Paul had this desire then in his mind as an apostle and as a Christian that he wanted us all to understand this same purpose of our life. Is not just in this life. Don't make the mistake of thinking that your life, if you have a nice car and you have some money in the bank and your health is good and you go to the gym and you work out and you jog and you do all of these things and you have your family and you take the photos of your family and you have all these friends that come for visits and so forth and you're able to travel and you do all of these wonderful things, that there's something beyond that that we need to be focusing in on. And that is, what are we going to be doing when this comes to an end here in this life? Everything that we're doing should be aiming toward that goal and that purpose. And we can enjoy those other things. And in fact, it can help make them even better. But the ultimate goal, we need to be clear, is out there beyond this life. And God has made that known to us. He's pointed us to that direction so that we can keep that as our focus of our life. So that's why I'm saying to you as a challenge, what is it in your life right now that you could set aside and keep that focus more on where the goal, and that is at the beginning of every day you get up and you spend time with prayer and a scripture of God's Word in your mind that's going to help you start out your day and in moving in that direction that we need to be going. So that is why the purpose is so important. Understanding God's purpose for our lives. So he says we make it our aim. Make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him, to God. That is our aim of our life. And we understand the word aim is basically a word that has reference to we're focusing in that direction, we're aiming at that goal. But it comes from a word, as I understand, that to act with honor from love. It actually is a beautiful word of expression. We make it our aim that whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing with Him. And Strong, who is a Greek authority, as some of you know, says that the word means to be eager or earnest to do something. And it makes me think of how the young men at the beginning of World War II, when our nation was attacked in Pearl Harbor, how they were so eager to go down and sign up for the military to defend our nation. This young man right here, 92 years old, is a great example of that, because he was 16 years old and he lied and said he was 18 so that he could enlist in the military and enter the war to defend our country. And so we appreciate his courage and his dedication. But that is the same concept that the Apostle Paul saying here. We make it our aim of our life. Our goal of our life is to be well-pleasing to God. We have a privilege of, as Christians, to be able to do this. Christ has given His sacrifice. We are able to have our sins forgiven. We are able to be cleansed of our sins and be well-pleasing to God if we stay focused on that and don't allow this world to draw us aside from that goal. And as I say, that is a constant challenge for us today, to stay focused on the goal that we have, because we're always being compromised in that. I believe constantly things happen in your life that take your mind off Christ and take your mind onto things. They may not always be sinful things, but they are hindrance and they draw us aside from the goal that we need to have. Book of Hebrews gives another example at the end of the book. And oftentimes the end of the letter, when the apostles writing the inspired New Testament letters, something very important is stated at the end as a final closing point to the letter. He said, "May the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Isn't that a beautiful way to end the letter? To remind us of what our goal is as we serve Him. It is an all-encompassing purpose of your life that everything you do in your life should fall into helping fulfill that goal. I think it's why Paul, in writing the Colossians, he said, "Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." One thing that I appreciate about Jesus, that as you read in the Gospels about Jesus and His life, is how He was always focused on His purpose of His life. He got up every day, sometimes long before daylight. He went out to pray to His Father. And He said, "I do all things in my life, it is to please Him. That is the purpose of my life." What a great example. We are His followers. He is the one we wanted to pattern and be like more and more. He kept focused on the goal. And He completed. And it says He is now sitting at the right hand of God. It is an all-encompassing goal, but it's constantly being tested in our lives. Remember, Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, He was praying the night before His death, and He said to His disciples, He told His disciples this, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. We often compromise on the goal of our life. We understand what the goal is, and yet we get sidetracked. And it's many times it's the flesh that we are weak. We know what our duty, we know what our responsibility is. I know what honor is. But if I don't do what the boss says, I could lose my job. And so I need to make it look good on paper. Sometimes we bend the truth. Sometimes we have to compromise our integrity of our life, or we think we have to compromise the integrity. I love her, this woman I have met, and she loves me. And how can it be wrong for us to be together? Many ways in life we are challenged, we're compromised to stay on the goal that we need to be. So it's a matter of choice that we have. It's a matter of choice. Am I going to pursue the ultimate goal of my life? Or is something now of the immediate desire more urgent that I will compromise what I know my objective needs to be? It's a deliberate choice that we make. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 9, Paul says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." See, it's a choice that we have to make in life. Which value is going to be guiding my principles of my life? Well, Paul then, he reminds us that why this is so urgent, why this is so compelling in our life, because ultimately there's an appointment that's coming for each one of us. And so he says in verse 10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of us may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We have an appointed time that we must come before the Lord and appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, it's very important that we understand our purpose. And this is beyond this life. This is after this life is over that this will take place. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one of them may receive the things done in the body, that is, in this life, whether good or bad, that will determine our eternity, our eternal future, and our hope. The judgment seat of Christ. So there is a tribunal that we will appear before Him in person. Personally, we will appear before Christ. And we will give an account of our lives before Him. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 26, He said, "For as the Father has life in Himself, so He has granted to the Son to have life in Himself. And He has given authority to Him to execute judgment also, because He is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." He says we must appear before Him. And this is another interesting word that is used by the Apostle Paul here, because it has reference not only to our personal appearing before Christ, but it also carries the idea that the truth is going to be revealed. the truth is going to be made known in that meeting when we come before Him. That He is going to examine us and the truth will be made known. It's a very sobering thought. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, he says, "And there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." Now there will be no favoritism. God is not a God of respect of persons. There is no favoritism. The judgment will be just. It will be fair. It will be equal. And the things done in the body, whether good or bad. So Paul's use of these terms is countering the idea that it was popular at the time that the body was of insignificance with God. That the spirit, and the spirit alone, was free to be in the view of God and so forth. But the body didn't matter. Whatever we do in the body, that's the flesh, that's the physical. And so there was an argument that was made by many of the Greek philosophers and things like this, that the things you do in your body, don't worry about that. It's the spirit that God's concerned with. Paul denies that here. He says the things done in the body, whether good or bad, we will give an account before God. Hebrews 9 and verse 27, it says, "It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." But we have this privilege, we have this wonderful opportunity that the things that we do can be good in His eyes, and we can be found pleasing to Him in that day. So the Scripture teaches us something very beautiful to think about, that it should be our aim of our life, knowing that this appointment is coming, to be prepared for that, and it will be something that we can come to that comfortably, not in fear, not in dread of that meeting that we will have with God before His throne. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 10 and 11, he says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat." See, he actually says here that we should be earnestly desiring that day, looking forward to that day when you stand before God. Because why? Because that means we are ready to enter into this beautiful reward that God has prepared for us. This life that is greater than this life, that will go on unendingly forever in the presence of God. And I don't know what your concept of heaven may be, but many times as I was growing up, I pictured it being like Disneyland or something like that, because you can be in a place that is a happy place all the time, every day of your life. So why wouldn't we look forward to that? Not with dread, but with certainty and with confidence. And Scripture teaches us that we can have that confident expectation coming to the day of judgment, because our life, we have lived it with that purpose in mind, that whether present or absent, we make it our aim to please Him. So we need to stay focused on that. And again, I want to put that challenge before you, each one, this coming year. How is it that you can better stay on track and better stay on focus? Daily plan, daily time that you spend to keep your mind going to that goal. And I recommend that you try and make it a purpose to As you get up in the morning and begin your day, spend time, open your Bible, find scriptures, do a reading of the Word of God, either an organized or just as you design it yourself. But take a scripture, put it in your mind. How can that help me today as I begin my day? Because I know what my purpose and my aim of my life is. And I want to be ready when that day comes, that I don't have to approach it with fear going before the judgment seat of God, because I know He knows everything. He's going to reveal the truth. And I want the truth to be something that I can be happy about, the result. And I read this the other day, that wisdom, and this comes from Joyce Meyer, but sometimes she can really hit it on the head, because she said that wisdom is choosing today to do the thing that in the future you will be happy about that. That's wisdom of your life. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. If there are those here this morning that need to come to Christ today, repent of your sins, confess your faith, be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, we want to stand and sing and invite you to come as we stand and sing.
One ninety-seven.